Hi, this is Nick Orton from the Think Big podcast. I am here with Neil Hill, aka Yoda, Y3T extraordinaire, global trainer, trained to the stars. Or how else can I introduce you, Neil?
Introduce myself by I'm short, good looking, and kind of cool. That'll do.
Yeah, funny enough, that didn't come to me. I should also say that actually that you are on FaceTime at the moment with me because I'm in the UK, you're in India, and at the moment you're based in Hyderabad, and you're
That's
training
right.
you're training one of the Physique Elite clients, Mahesh Babu. So,
that's right.
So what I wanted to touch on today with you, Neil, was obviously your profile, which is massive globally. There's going to be a lot of people listening to this who are fitness professionals, and I want them to learn a little bit about how you managed to get such a high profile. Can you give us a little bit of background of, you know, where you started from?
I mean, I've always had a huge, keen interest in sport in general. I was very much a sporting kid. And I think the reason why I was very much into sport and excelled in sport is because I was dyslexic as a child. And my dyslexia held me back from, massively in school. And my way of channeling my frustration and actually being good at something where school held me back was to put my efforts into sport. And, you know, I was an international swimmer. I played football. I played rugby. I was a freestyle BMX rider, I surfed, and I was very lucky that all of those things I excelled in. And maybe I excelled in because, you know, maybe I was quite gifted when it came to sport, but I think it was my personality that I'm a very driven individual. And the things that I believe that I can do, I'm the type of person that has to either be the best at them or be as good as I can possibly be. Some people go through life, you know, just kind of roller coasting or just kind of ease themselves through their life. With me, I'm just the type of individual who has to excel in the things that I choose to do in life. Really, that's kind of, with that side of things. But as far as the sport is concerned, I started when I was 19 years of age by chance. I went to a bodybuilding show with somebody and I watched that show for the first time. That was it. I wanted to be a bodybuilder, and from that day, I really did put my efforts into building, you know, the best body that I could do with the years that I spent within the sport. But I also felt that I hit a happy medium with the sport as well. I wasn't just, I didn't have this obsession, sport is, you know, sport, or bodybuilding. I had this philosophy where if I balance my outside influences with my inside influences, meaning that I put my efforts into the gym when I'm there and I walk away, and I put my efforts into my daily life with my loved ones and family members and making sure I eat properly, then I would see, you know, more success. And that definitely happened for me, most definitely.
Okay, and how did you make ends meet? Because, I mean, it's expensive, dedicating yourself to bodybuilding, pursuing the sports that you loved. How did you make ends meet?
I mean, it was difficult because when I started my weight training or my bodybuilding, I was 19 and I was actually nearly finishing my final years as an apprentice mechanic working with Range Rover and Jaguar. So obviously my wages were pretty low at the time. But at the same time, I started working in a nightclub as well. I worked on the door as a doorman or security or bouncer, whatever you want to call it. And I worked in the winter months two nights a week on the door there. In the summer nights, I'd work anywhere between five and six nights, plus my full-time job, 9 to 5, Monday to Friday. So I used that second job as a second income to help, you know, fund my sport, which, because, you know, food alone is pretty expensive. So, you know, I believed in what I was doing, and more importantly, I was very passionate about what I was doing. So I was a type of individual that's like, listen, if I want to be able to be the best that I can do or stay in an environment where it's positive for me as far as building the best physique I can, I need extra money, and that extra money is only going to come from one place, and that's me working extra hours. I'm one of those people who kind of like get very frustrated when I hear people who just sit at home and they don't look, you know, they don't look out to grasp onto earning money. They expect people to give it to them. I've never been given anything in my life. I've worked my ass off all my life, basically.
And okay, when did you then get into coaching other people?
I was about 23, 24 years of age, I think, maybe a little younger when there was an interest with people sort of showing an interest in me for the first time to help them coach them with their chosen sports, because I had a background with rugby and football. And obviously had a background with swimming, and obviously then I started having a background with my strength-related sports with the bodybuilding and things like that. I had quite a lot of interest where people would, you know, ask questions and seek some advice, and obviously I was still learning about my body, and I made mistakes as well, because where I live in the world, it's in the middle of nowhere, and the internet and things like that wasn't about then. So, you know, I learned the hard way. I learned by my own mistakes, but I also learned by listening to my body, really, really listening to my body, because books and magazines are great for feeding people with information, but the only negative about that is that you're getting scientific sort of research done and people's philosophies and theories of what they've learned or what they believe is the right way to train or eat. But everybody's different. And I was very lucky that with me working with these different individuals, I was gathering a lot of data and information and seeing a huge amount of success going that way to those individuals who were competing in those chosen sports. And it allowed my profile to rise. And I wasn't looking for a rise in popularity or profile. What I was doing really was just something I had a general interest in. But for me, it was just very lucky, because obviously I started to have some success, and then outside influences or outside people saw that sort of success that I was having. And then obviously that just gained the fire. My fire became bigger, meaning that, you know, more and more interest had started to come my way.
And what sort of people noticed you then? That gave you opportunities.
There was supplement companies which obviously showed some interest, because at the time the sport as far as supplement companies were lesser then, and what you used to tend to find, it was really elite athletes which were getting sponsorship packages or sponsorship deals with companies. Because the social media aspect of things wasn't there. But the fact that obviously because I was having success. It wasn't just for the fact that supplement companies started to have shown an interest and maybe wanted to sponsor me or get involved with what I was doing, but more so athletes as a whole were seeing the success of athletes who were working with me, and obviously then I was just gaining more interest from those outside people who I wasn't currently looking after. It was just like a wave. It was just, and it came very quickly, to be honest with you. But at the same time, I wasn't initially looking for that. I was just doing something that I was very passionate about. But as I said earlier on, I'm one of those people, if I do something, I have to excel in it. I'm just one of those individuals. I'm not somebody who seeks attention and puts my hand up and say, hey, look at me. I'm one of those people who like to do everything I can to my best ability, but then step away and have my privacy, if that makes sense to you. Yeah, it's just for the fact that success.
What I was going to say, Neil, is that somebody noticed you, you know, the sports supplement companies noticed you. It sounds like you didn't go out and caught their attention. But what do you think it was that made them think, Neil Hill, he's somebody that we should be talking to?
I think my physique at the time, I had a physique which was marketable. I had a physique which was very symmetrical. I had a physique which was extremely conditioned. And all of those three things alone do draw attention, whichever way you look at it. It's something that either a company might show an interest in, or outside influences, or competitors, for instance. So one was my physique. But when you surround yourself with successful people or businesses, it definitely draws extra identity and credibility to those individuals or that company. But more importantly, it also has this ability to drive the best out of people as well. So when you're around like-minded people or people who are successful or companies which are successful, I just feel that it's like a fire which just basically sort of gets elevated. And I think that obviously maybe a company was seeing that I was doing, you know, I was excelling in what I was doing. I think as a whole, I think that they thought that an investment in me would increase their profiles even more, or their credibility. And obviously, I wouldn't want to be a part of a company which didn't have credibility. I associate myself with people and companies which do have credibility, because credibility is something which just has this ability to bring the best out of people and motivate people as well. That's how I feel.
Okay, that's really interesting. And can I just move on a step then to Y3T, which is obviously a brand that I'm sure you're extremely proud of, because globally there are millions and millions of people that use your training technique. When and how did you come up with Y3T?
Just in a brief, it really came down to the fact that I was picking up injuries from training the conventional way of the way that the magazines were telling you the best way to build maximum muscle tissue, and that was basically low repetitions with medium to low sets. And what I was finding for my body, I was picking up shoulder injuries, I was picking up tendonitis injuries. Even though I was training smart and my form was very good, my body just wasn't really, it was getting positives from it, but it was getting negatives from it. So I was having to go through rehab phases where I had to train lighter and I had to concentrate more on squeezing and contracting. I had to do, sort of more sets to try and make up for the lesser weight and repetitions I was doing. But what I was finding through that rehab period, and with me focusing more on squeezing and contracting, not only were my injuries subsiding and disappearing, my growth started to accelerate. I was actually gaining muscle tissue at a greater rate than I was when I was training lighter. Now, that was probably down to two things. One, because I was getting different stimulation of muscle fibers. I also found that my cardiovascular system and my body fat levels were dropping. My cardiovascular system became more active and live and stronger from the higher repetitions and higher sets. But I was seeing a positive change all over with my physique, for many reasons. But then I started to incorporate doing lower repetitions again and lower sets. And it took me probably about 18 months to 2 years to really come up with the idea of Y3T, or the principles behind Y3T. Because for me, I was doing something completely against the grain and something completely against what the experts were saying for all those years. So for me, it happened by chance because of the injuries I had. But I wholeheartedly really believe that Y3T's training principles, I really do believe that they are the best training principles out there for anybody who's involved with sport in general. Because the beauty about Y3T is you can design the workouts and the program around each individual, and each individual from chose different sports, from a swimmer to a track and field athlete, to a basketball player, to a bodybuilder, to a baseball player or a tennis player. You can design the program around that specific sport. There's okay. No other program which you can do that.
And how did you get other people to listen to that and use it for themselves? And like I say, millions of people use it around the world now. How did you get it to that stage?
It happened really with the success of athletes, and more so really I would say because of the athletes that I were working with in different sports and backgrounds were seeing success, and their success was pretty dramatic, or they were definitely seeing surges over growth and development, and or maybe the track and field, it was their times, for instance. There was definitely big accelerations with what they were doing in the past and what they were doing with Y3T with me. But also Flex Lewis was a huge positive as far as elevating Y3T, because obviously I started working with Flex at his very first show when he was 19 years of age. And for those people who don't know Flex Lewis, he's probably one of the most, I don't know if successful athletes is the word, but definitely one of the fastest growing sporting, young gentlemen who've come into the sport as a whole, who's had not just success in his home country, but internationally and globally, from being a young amateur bodybuilder to being, obviously the 212 Mr. Olympia now. His profile, which was rising, and Flex was doing Y3T with me from day one when we started working together at 19. And in that 19 years, since the age of 19 up to his present time now, and he's nearly 30 years of age, he's not had one injury with me ever. in that sort of 10 years that we're working together. And I definitely do believe that's down to Y3T.
And so so what you're saying basically is that the athletes that you were training with were using your technique, and because they were getting results, people were seeing and asking them what they were using, and that's what has made Y3T so popular and so well known.
Yeah, most definitely. I mean, obviously, I want to drive Y3T and push Y3T out there to the masses. And you know, some people will say I don't agree with what you're saying. Some people say that, you know, they do. For me, I want Y3T to speak for itself. I'm not somebody who pushes and promotes and Y3T. I let my athletes talk. I let the results talk. That, you know, their results speak for themselves, for instance. I don't feel that I need to talk about it day in, day out for people to use it, because people heard about it because of the success that other people have had. Whether it's a professional athlete, whether it's an amateur athlete, or whether it's just an everyday gym user, people are trying it because it's, as I said, it's a wave of success or a wave of interest which has happened with it. And the results are, they're positive. And when people see positive things taking place in their lives, they talk about them. And more importantly, obviously, people see the results from these positive things. You can have the best product in the world, but to me, you can have the best product in the world, whatever it may be, and you can market it the best possible way. But what's really going to make it successful as well, when people talk about it, it creates like word of mouth. There's nothing better than word of mouth to me. And it's basically speaks for itself.
And what would you say then to fitness professionals who are listening to this and thinking they want to grow their profiles and they want to come up with new ideas and businesses that they want to take to the next level? Is there any advice you can give them?
I think there's multiple things. The first thing is that I really believe that if you're very passionate about what you do and you believe in what you do and believe in an idea, I think that you have to be a very unlucky individual not to be successful and get results and whatever that is, because passion and belief is a big, big part of being successful. There's no doubt about it. I think every successful businessman or every successful sporting, you know, man or woman at some point have come against obstacles, but they break those obstacles down. They keep moving forward. Believe in yourself. You know, don't allow outside negative influences hold you back. Use those negative influences, positive influences. If something gets said to me which I feel is negative and I don't agree with, it only drives me even more. It makes me more determined to be more successful or to prove those people wrong. Passion, belief, believe in yourself, but also be real as well. Don't allow your own passions to blind you. I'm a big advocate of taking risks, taking calculated risks. I've taken calculated risks all my life, pretty much so, to be honest with you. I have people who say to me, don't give up your job doing this, Neil, you're doing really well. And I'm like, no, this is what I really got to do. I really want to concentrate on, you know, what I'm doing with the health and fitness side of things, because this is my passion. I love what I do. I get a big buzz from seeing people reach their genetic potential, and I want to be a part of hopefully helping them reach those greatness, whatever it may be, for instance, or even if it's just an everyday gym user who wants to lose 30 kilos or 20 kilos. I get the same kind of motivation and feedback and energy from seeing people progress in that as I do with athletes reaching greatness with their chosen sports. As I said, just being real to yourself and you know, put all your efforts into it. Don't let other outside influences who are negative hold you back. Use those as positive things, because if you turn a negative into a positive, it's only going to make you a stronger individual, you know, externally and internally as well.
Okay, well, that's fascinating, Neil. Thank you very much for the time. We're going to end this interview. So this is Nick Horton for the Think Big podcast. Thanks for listening.